Now you can turn to the scripture that they were singing about. Vessels of gold, silver, and wood. And where would that be at? That's where I'm going to... 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading at verse 19. And if you are kind of sleepy, dozing off, you need to stand up and get awakened. You can stand, and you that are still asleep, just go ahead and remain seated. Verse 19 says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Now if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good works. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." And there is a lot of prisoners that the devil has this morning. Yes, that and don't become one of his. And let's have a word of prayer. We'll see what God give us something this morning. Now, Father, we realize the importance of the hour. We realize the importance, Lord, of pleasing you by assembling and gathering here, and to exhort and one another into this. We see the day approaching, and we do pray, our Father, that you would help each one of us, Lord, to examine ourselves. You said to examine ourselves to see if we be in the faith, and help each one of us, Lord, to have a desire, Lord, to be faithful to you and to grow in the grace and knowledge of you. Our Father, we realize here this morning there are those that are fighting many different battles. There are those, Lord, that are fighting backsliding. They're fighting heartbreaks. They're fighting, Lord, with domestic problems. They're fighting with different monetary problems. And Lord, every one of us has a problem. Every one of us has a need. Every one of us needs the grace of God and the mercy of God to be applied to us. And we are thankful that your mercy endureth forever. We're thankful, O Lord, that it is renewed every day. Thank you for your wonderful grace this morning that forgives us of our sins and costs us nothing, but in asking us, Lord, to be a follower of you and to be, Lord, a voice for you and to be a vessel of honor, and may that you take each one that is assembled here this morning and use them, my Father, for your glory and for your honor, and we'll thank you. Now, Lord, we do pray that you would put a hedge about us. We pray that you'd keep Satan away, and we pray, our Father, here this morning that as your children, and Lord, that are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, may be able to fellowship, may be able to worship you in spirit and in truth, and Lord, give no heed to that evil spirits and the spirits of devils, and help us to glorify you in all we do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. And you may be seated. Now, as we've talked about missions, and we're looking forward to this coming week, getting prepared, getting ready, for missionaries and for those that have surrendered to take the gospel. But there's into that, you and I are missionaries. Whether you like it or whether you don't, that if you're a child of God, you're a missionary. What's a missionary? A missionary is one that goes and tells somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so afraid that our missionaries have gone on. Somebody said they've gone on Linda, gone on furlough. A lot of God's people have gone on furloughs. A lot of God's people today are not doing any much missionary work. I want to dwell on a word down here in verse 24 for a while. And you find the word servant of the Lord. Now, you look at that there, he said, and the servant of the Lord must not strive into that. And that's simply, that must not be dispute, contentious. He must not be one that is causing a lot of problems. But he must be one that is gentle to all men, apt to teach, patience, and forbearing. Now, listen here, a servant. What is a servant? Oftentimes we got to what's going on today out across our country and in our cities, people that are burning, looting, destroying property, destroying things that we would never have thought would have taken place, and they're protesting, and some thing going all the way back and using turned down statues of men that fought in the Civil War, the dispute about slavery. Can I say to you, look at that word servant there? That comes from a word there that simply means slave. That's that word. God put it in the Bible 115 times that's translated a servant into that. A servant is nothing but a slave. And you as a child of God, your master is Jesus Christ. God exhorts us to be a good servant. God exhorts us in Romans 1:1, Paul said, a servant of Jesus Christ to be an apostle separated unto the gospel. In Philippians 1:1, Paul again, he makes mention of a servant. He said here, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. Now, can I say to you today, you've been born again, you've been saved, you say, I know the Lord is my Savior. God said, you're a slave. I mean, our desire is to be a slave to Him and to do His will. And a servant is one who has been purchased. Can I say to you this morning, if you're a child of God, there was a price that had to be paid to get you purchased off out of the world. And that was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed that Calvary and went to Calvary to redeem you. And so a servant, a slave, is one who has been purchased, one who has you have a will of his own. He is totally under control of his master. We are born the first time a slave to the old natural laws of the old sinful man. The second time, been born again. We talked about being born again this morning. Have you been born again? Have you had a spiritual birth? Do you know that you have been regenerated and redeemed? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you fell over dead as a doornail here this morning, that you're going to heaven? If not, boy, before I leave here, I'd make that thing sure. There's a lot of, well, I hope so, I think so, maybe so. But hey, God said, I've set it up to where you can know so. You don't have to think about, am I going to heaven or am I a child of God or not? If you've been born again, just as you are sitting there physically and I'm looking at you and I can say, hey, you've been born physically. I see your body there. Well, the same thing ought to be said that, hey, I see your spiritual man. I see you have been born again. I see that you're a child of God. It ought to be that they don't have to distinguish. I have to look under the pews. I have to look up through a microscope to see, well, is that person saved or not? If you're a child of God, you are a servant. And as a servant, we have responsibility to our Father, which is in heaven. And to that. And so he said, you ought to be a vessel of gold and of silver. And he said, now there's some of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Now, it ought to be to that desire. I do not want to be a vessel of dishonor. I want to be a vessel of honor. The church, you find, is to serve Jesus Christ. Well, look at verse 24, and the servant of the Lord, he must not strive. Verse 25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose himself. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves. Hey, he says here, you could get in the snare of the devil. We are admonished to beware of the traps that the devil sets for us. And if you're not careful, if you're not mindful, you're going to get into a trap that the devil has set for you. And you're going to lose that opportunity to be a vessel of honor to where that you may be able to serve God and to be able to be a child of God and to be a servant unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We are his representatives. Whether you like it or whether you don't, anybody wants to change that? You want to go back to the old man? You want to go back to the old life? You want to give up your inheritance in heaven? You want to give up the new life in God? Then I don't know what to tell you. If you've been born again, I'd like to have a different body. I mean, you saw my mug on the mug. It could have been a whole lot better. That if I had to do any anything to do with it, I'd made me a little better looking. I'd made me a little taller. I'd made me a little thinner. I'd made me a little richer. But I didn't have nothing to do with it. And the same thing in my spiritual life. God has saved me and forgiven me, and now it's my privilege to follow the Lord and to grow and to be a servant yielded to my master. And so I say to you this morning, what kind of servant are you? A missionary servant? Are you a servant that it could be said and looked at and say, hey, that person there is a missionary? We have these missionaries coming in, and boy, missionaries are my heroes. I love missionaries. And that's why every person that knows the Lord is their Savior, but pressing to be saved, I like. He said, love your neighbor. If you're saved, I got to love you. Whether I like you or not, I got to love you. And into that, hey, it ought to be into that as a child of God here that I want to be able to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, because he said you are the salt of the earth. And if the salt has lost its savor, what good are you? No good for nothing. I mean, you can't even put a bad salt on a tomato and make it taste right. We are supposed to be the salt. And he said you are the light of the world. Is your light shining brightly? Do you know the Lord? Now, I want to follow this servant deal that we have responsibilities. It's not, well, I'm just saved and I'm going to heaven. Bless God, I'll do whatever, live however I want to. Can I say to you, you got the wrong Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You got a bad spirit. You got food. The devil's got you. He's the angel of light came and sowed some seed there that's not good seed. If you are here sitting this morning and say, well, I know I'm going to heaven, but I'm going to live every how I want to, you don't have the right master. As a child of God that's been born again, you have a master that you have a desire that wants you to follow him, and it ought to be the desire in your heart that I want to live for my Savior this morning. I want to live for him. I don't want to strive. I want to be gentle. I want to be patient. I want to endure into that. And so as a servant, you go through the Bible and look at some places. I said 115 times I counted to where this word servant that is used as a slave is used in the Bible. God put a pretty good importance upon it. Into that, look at in Matthew 22 if you have your Bibles. In Matthew 22, we'll talk about a parable here. Verse 1 said, Jesus answered, spake unto them again by parables, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Hey, could I say to you that there's going to be a wedding one day? Could I say to you the king there is God, the son is the Lord Jesus Christ? And he sent forth his servants. There's that word servants. He sent forth his slaves. If you had a Jew, in the Hebrew, he would be what he would identify that word as a slave. You take back in the Jews, God had given to them, you could have a slave. He could sell himself to you. He's in debt. Maybe he owes you. And he can work for you for 7 years. And after 7 years, you got to turn him loose whether his debt's fulfilled or not. And in after 7 years, Jimmy, we're Jews. He's been my slave. He's 7 years is up. It's the day of the Jubilee. He's got to go. But Jimmy said, hey, I've got it so good here. I don't want to go. You want to stay? Yeah, I want to stay. And so he'd come, and the master would take an awl, a brace and bit for you to know what an awl is, and they bore a hole in his ear. And he is a lifetime slave to that master. Now, into that, it ought to be that there is a whole board in your heart that you want to be a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Into that. And so here the kingdom of heaven, he said, is like it now. And we know that God sent forth his son. We know that his son is making a preparation for his son. We know that one day there's going to be a wedding. Into that, he sent forth his servants. I call these the disciples. Go and to bid folks to the wedding. Now, what are we doing today? We're bidding folks to the wedding. We're trying to get folks saved. Hey, there's a wedding one day. The church is going to be taken out. The church is the bride of Christ. We're trying to get folks saved. And here the disciples, the first of them goes out into the world trying to get folks saved, trying to get them ready for the wedding. Again, he sent other servants. And I marked down here missionaries. I just put there's been a world of missionaries that has left their homeland and gone to a foreign land and to take the gospel and to tell others who've never heard. We're going through a time in our country today that we never thought was possible. Paul, in writing here, he's just about 3 years away before the destruction of Jerusalem. You say here, he talks about some things here you find. Look at verse 7. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. He sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities. You find in verse 6, the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. You go back into history, and we know here that Paul, no doubt, had some understanding of what was going to take place. And we know that in 70 A.D., Titus comes through, and the Christian people in 70 A.D., there at the destruction of Jerusalem, went through a period of time to where that they did not know what was going to happen. Maybe the Lord, that you're coming. We're going through a time. We look out into our world. We see all of this unrest going on. We see whether it be China. We see whether it be over in Iraq, Iran. We know that over in Israel, we know that about every country there's unrest going on. And we say, well, what's happening in our world today? Well, I would say that put yourself back in 70 AD in the city of Jerusalem, and Titus comes through there, the Roman government there, and they destroy that. Hey, the beautiful temple. And just, you know, the Lord has been into that temple. The Lord, the disciples have gone up into the temple. They have worshiped there. They have, has been a masterpiece for them to behold. And now here it is. It has been disassembled. It has been burnt down. I look at some of the photographs of the people up in Portland, up in Seattle, and some of the beautiful buildings that's been desecrated, that's been burnt. And we say, man, how can somebody do that? But Christian people have gone through a lot in their in the history of Christianity. You take in the 1500s with the dark days, boy, I tell you what, Baptists were slew by the thousands in the 1500s because they would not heed to some false doctrine that got started in that sprinkling of babies and baby baptism, and that, and they said, that's not Bible, that's not true, and they said, don't call no man father, and you find that we stood against some things that, and boy, we got a lot of them went out into eternity, tied to a stake, burnt, women thrown out into the river and drowned. Because of that. But hey, as a servant of God, our focus is upon Jesus Christ. I'm not to go out here protesting. I'm not to go out here battling. I am to take the gospel to the world, and my duty and my responsibility is to regardless of what is going on, I am to follow the Lord. I am to be a child of God that will not bring honor and dishonor to my Savior. And so here in this parable here, God said, I've sent out my son, and there's a wedding. And he said, I got my servants going out here to invite people to come to the wedding. Invite people. We're into that this week. Invite people to our mission conference to hear the Word of God. We're disciples. We are slaves to the Lord. We're to take the gospel into that. And he said here also that in verse 8, then saith he to the servant, the wedding is ready, and they which were bidden were not worthy. Can I say to you, said it here this morning, you're not a child of God, you've never been born again, you're not going to that wedding.
Right.
That wedding is a special wedding. Invitations have been sent out. You either accept it or you can reject it. You don't want to go to the wedding to where that the bride is making ready for the bridegroom. You're not going to be there unless you got an invitation. The things are about to, he said, the wedding is ready. Can I say to you this morning, God is working on getting the wedding. He's getting all of the preparations made. He's just waiting for the bride to get adorned. And he's just waiting to call the bride out and to get her home, get her out of the dressing room, get her all prepared for the bridegroom. The wedding, he said, now here it is, it's about ready. And you ought to be thinking about, am I ready for the wedding? Now, before we can get to the wedding, we got to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. One day we got to stand and to see how we're going to be clothed to go to that wedding. And boy, you take here that when the king came in to see the guest, there's a guest. And he saw their man, and what you find here, you go from the church age to the tribulation and into to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he sets up here that the wedding is ready. He brings the bride, he comes back. And we are the servants, have got a job to do. And our job is not over. Our mission work is not over. We're to continue to get involved. We continue to be trying to get folks saved. I go to Revelation 19, and I see again here there were some servants in that. And he said, after these things, talking about the judgment, I hear the great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Oh, my soul, can you imagine what that day that's going to be? Can you imagine the scene in heaven? Can you imagine for just a little bit that the bride has been ready? She has been made ready for the bridegroom, and there is a lot of noise going around. There's a lot of joy. Well, weddings, it's exciting to be getting in weddings, isn't it? It's exciting to see the bride come walking down the aisle and all pretty. I never have in all the weddings I've conducted never seen an ugly bride. They're all pretty. Now, that 2 weeks or so down the road is a different story. But that wedding day, they come down the aisle. Boy, they are beautiful, isn't it? And boy, suddenly the bride for the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be all dressed up in white linen and raiment that we have come through the judgment seat of Christ. And we have been clothed with righteous garments and to meet the groom. Can't say much for that, but that groom that we're going to meet there, it's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ and all of it. Can you imagine the Shekinah glory? Can you be mindful of what he looks like and to be married to him? And he said true and righteous are his judgments. And by the way, when you sit at the judgment seat of Christ, he said, God, now keep in mind, God said, I know those that are mine. I know that the foundation of God standeth true. Now, let me say to you today, God knows you. He knows what you're doing. He knows if you're doing anything for him. And in that, you're going to stand one day, and you're going to give an account at the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the book is going to be opened of how you lived your life as a servant of God. Now, it doesn't mean that heaven and hell is not the issue. It's the issue is how am I going to what am I going to get to, how am I going to be clothed in the millennium. How am I going to be clothed through eternity? And it's all going to be dependent upon how faithful you were, what kind of servant you were, what kind of slave that you were for the Lord. Have you been faithful to Him? Have you done what you can? Have you given and sacrificed for the Lord? I said, into that, we are to feed the spiritual man. The new man in Christ is what God is interested in. And God wants you and I to walk in the newness of life. He wants you and I to be surrendered to Him and to be a good servant, to be obeyed to the Master's will. And so he said into that, for true and righteous are his judgment, for he has judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth. Can I say to you, the earth is going to get her reward?
Yes, sir.
Can I say to you, those that are out here demonstrating and those that are out here causing problems, those out here killing policemen and stuff, their reward is coming.
Yep.
They're going to be down there in the torments of flames and sulfur and blackness, and there the only thing that they can hear is screaming and wailing. And to that, deliver us, but it's too late. Could I say to you, if you're a child of God, then that you got one purpose in life to be. Your protest is that you're protesting to get the gospel to the world. Go you into all the world. That's why we have mission conference. That's why we believe in mission, getting the gospel to the world. Why we believe in trying to give and sacrifice and giving of ourselves from our wants and some of our desires, that Bibles can be printed and to be able to get into the hands of those who have never had a Bible and never heard about Christ. That's what mission conference is all about. And I say to us this morning into that, he has judged the great whore, he said, which did corrupt the earth, and has avenged the blood of his servants at her hands. Could I say to you, they killed the prophets. They killed a lot of Christians today are being martyred and being executed because of their faith in Christ. And they've been going through a lot of things that you and I sitting here this morning would not imagine. But can I say to you today that Christianity, Christians that have for years that have had to go through a lot of tribulation, even here on the earth. God's been good. God's been gracious to allow you and I the privilege. And boy, one of these days we've got to stand. You've got to stand sometime before that little Chinese man here who has been beaten, been thrown in prison because he wouldn't recant his faith in Christ.
Man.
You can stand over here to this guy that came out of the Muslim, this Arab, and he recanted it and took upon the Lord as his Savior. And he was excommunicated from his family, his children, his wife killed, and yet he stayed faithful to God. You got to stand beside that when you sit here on padded pews and you got automobiles, you got everything to your hand, and you doing nothing for God. Shame on you.
Right.
You know, it'll be that into that. It'll be a sad day when I have to stand before some of these Christians that they went through and what they sacrificed and what they lost for the Lord Jesus Christ and what they gave up. Hopefully, you and I this morning, I get put out. We have a virus going on. It's spread all through every news place you go, every newspaper. There's a virus. It's real. And you have to try to protect yourself. But could I say to you, the greatest protector is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes,
could I say to you today that it is still appointed unto you to die? Could I say to you that it's better to be faithful to God, take the precautions that you can, but make yourself available for the Lord.
Right.
Hear my Lord, send me. He can't send you if you're not here. He can't send you if you're not willing. Into that, these missionaries, they're willing. In order to stand, we need to be persuaded of some things. One is, I'm saved forever. Psalm 125:1. God gave me this week. I just was reading along there and wasn't expecting a whole lot for that. And I read across this verse of Scripture and I got excited and wanted to tell the world about it. Psalm 25:1, a verse that's so easily, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever.
Amen.
I got to. I'm like Mount Zion that cannot be removed. I'm here forever. Oh my soul, can just understand that there's no end to me.
Right.
Heaven is my home. Eternity, all eternity, I get to be with God and serve the Lord.
Yes,
now you ought to be aware of that. You ought to be aware that here he said, John 10, my sheep hear me. My sheep, are you a sheep? Are you hearing the Lord? Do you know his voice? Do you know when he calls? Where are you at this morning? My sheep hear my voice and they know me. And could I say to us this morning that we have nothing to be afeard of but fear itself. And that fear of, where am I going to spend eternity at? Am I sure? Do I know I'm a child of God? Do I know that I've been born again? Do I know that I'm going to be with the Lord forever? There's no hope so, maybe so, but I know so. Surrender to his will. John said, "For I always," Jesus talking about his Father, said, "I always do those things that please him." Talking about his relationship with the Father. You and I, it ought to be that we want to please him. Christ-like means to live and to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:23 talks about this fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and all of that. Do you have that? Are you? If you walk in the Spirit today, you're not worried about anything. If they want to burn Portland down, well, go right ahead, burn it down. I'm in Winchester. If they want to burn down Seattle, go ahead. That's their business. I don't have to answer for that. I've got to answer for one thing, and that is, how am I serving God? Yes, am I faithful to him? Am I faith of walking with him? Do I believe in trying to get the gospel to the world? And the only thing that's going to help a lot of those folks is they get a born-again experience. They get to get born again by the Spirit of God, and they want to live a different life. They ain't got nothing to live for. Why are they doing that? They got nothing to live for.
That's right.
Man, we got something to live for. I feel sorry for the person that don't have nothing to live for. I've got everything in eternity to live for. God has given unto me the opportunity to do the things that I never thought about doing before. We sit here, I'm just trying to get through life. I sure hope that the Lord hurry up and come. Or I just sure hope that I'm being... Oh, listen. You had no business of being depressed. You had no business of being down in the mouth. You had no business of being that. You get into that. God's given you the grace and the mercy to be able to enjoy and be victorious in this old world and look forward to that day when God shall split the eastern sky. Good, my soul. And could I say to you, serving God... I got to quit. But serving God will take your mind off yourself.
Yes, sir.
You know why you get all tore up about yourself? Because you're not serving God. You dedicate yourself to the Lord. You ain't got time to think about yourself.
That's right.
Daniel ain't got time to think about going to heaven, that baby. Her mind's up on the things of the Lord. That baby will come onto that. Andy do the thing, all the worrying about it. But she's free of that. We don't have to be downtrodden. We don't have to be defeated. We belong to God, and God is victorious.
Yes, sir.
I don't know what you're depending on to get to heaven, but can I tell you right now, you can work your little fingers to the bones, and you're not going to make it.
Right.
You can try to borrow some salvation from somebody else, but it won't work. You can try to do some things, but hey, you can go be baptized at every baptistry, but it ain't going to work.
Right.
You are saved by grace through faith plus nothing, dependent upon the blood that was shed at Calvary that paid your debt of sin. My faith is in what Jesus Christ did, and into that I've trusted in nothing else. But he and he alone. Let's stand, please.